Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Circumcision or uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves.
Well, pray with me this morning. Father, as I come and try to stand and preach your word this morning, I pray your Holy Spirit would anoint me for this task. God, I myself am completely insufficient, Father, but I pray that I would hide behind your word, I would hide behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I may proclaim your word with boldness and clarity and conviction this morning, Father. I pray the Holy Spirit again would just move and work in the hearts of those hearing the preaching of your word this morning, God, that it might be effective, that it might be powerful, that it might be life-changing, soul-shaping. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we're going to rejoice in it, and we'll be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for the gift of our mothers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated with me this morning. Well, one of the greatest lines in movie history, is a one-word guttural cry from the movie Braveheart. How many of y'all seen the movie Braveheart? You know what I'm talking about? You know what word I'm talking about, right? The greatest line. At this point in the movie, William Wallace, he's been captured and brought before the English magistrates, and he's about to be purified by pain, they say. You're sentenced, William Wallace, to be purified by pain. That's a nice way of saying tortured until you say what we want you to say. And that was their plan. He was about to be put to death for the crime of high treason against the King of England because he was trying to win political freedom for the country of Scotland. And he was out trying to do that. And so he was about to be executed, but they wanted to give him a chance to recant and die quickly. And so on the execution platform, if you remember the scene, he's being choked, he's being stretched, he's being disemboweled and all sorts of terrible things. And the magistrate leans in and he whispers into his ear. He says, "It can all be over in an instant if you'll only cry mercy." And at this point, friends, William Wallace needed mercy because he was, again, being tortured. And he gathers himself and he signals to the magistrate that he wants to say something, and the magistrate calms the crowd and all that stuff, and they're quiet, and he knows this is the crowning moment. He can't wait. William Wallace is about to say mercy. And he comes over there, and with all of his strength, as he lies there stretched out, all of the strength in his body, what does he cry? He doesn't cry mercy. He cries, "Freedom!" You remember that? And if you've seen the movie, man, at that moment, just every hair on the back of your neck stands up because it's awesome. I mean, it's one of those moments that just sends tingles up your spine because we as human beings, especially Americans, seem to naturally love the idea and reality of political freedom, don't we? We love political freedom. And William Wallace was willing to die trying to be free, and he did just that. But you know what? The Bible says something a little bit differently as far as our spiritual freedom. While we love political freedom, we don't naturally love spiritual freedom, the Bible says. You see, the Bible says that we're born sinners. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 here with me. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the Spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Notice that word. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You see, church, our forefather Adam, he stood before God at the dawn of creation as the representative head of every human who would live after him. And when he chose to sin, the Bible says, all of humanity was condemned with him. Romans 5:12 says it this way. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam they're talking about, sin entered into the world and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. So naturally, the Bible says we don't love spiritual freedom. We love political freedom. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. But spiritually, we don't love freedom. We love bondage. We naturally prefer the bondage of sin, the Bible says. Friends, the sin nature is powerful. I don't know if you've ever been to my house before, but my house is on a hill. A lot of hills around here in Middle Tennessee, right? Especially here as we get into the Cumberland Plateau and all those things. If you get up to the top of a hill, like Zachariah and I do about every day, we play basketball out there, and if a ball, if it goes down that hill, what happens to it? Man, it's done. It's gone. That's right. I mean, gravity pulls it down, and you can just see it getting faster. I mean, it's like more and more it goes downhill, the faster it gets. And so like gravity pulls Zachariah's basketball down that big hill in front of our house, our sin nature pulls us downward into further sin. And friends, one of our favorites, we have lots of favorites, but one of our favorites is self-righteousness, which is the effort to merit God's favor by my own action. Like gravity, friends, our sin nature pulls us to the law and pressures us to say, God, see how good I am? See what I've done? I've earned your favor. Friends, this is a battle that we as Christians, I mean, we will fight this until the day we die as we fight this slide toward self-righteousness. But for those who aren't believers, those who do not follow Christ, those who have not been born again, it's not a battle for them at all. The Bible says they're already defeated. You know, most of the world, including most Americans who call themselves Christians, they have nothing more in their faith than working Hinduism. Just basic functional Hinduism. I'm not saying they're Hindus. I'm saying their faith is basically the same. They believe in this karma-like principle that says, I'll be okay. Yes, I've done some bad stuff, but I'll be all right on the day of judgment if I can just do some good stuff to cover up my bad stuff. That's functional Hinduism. That's a lie from the devil. So friends, we've got to fight against these lies. And Paul speaks words to us in this passage here that'll help us do just that. That's why Paul begins the passage the way he does. Look at verse 1 with me. It was for what? It was for freedom. Everybody say freedom. That Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That phrase there, keep standing firm, that's the language of struggle. That's the language of fighting and standing firm. And so here's my big idea for us this morning. It's the language of resistance, isn't it? Here's my big idea. Your life in Christ should be marked by holy resistance or godly resistance. Your life in Christ should be marked by holy or godly resistance. Now, let's just say from the beginning there, there is resistance in this life that is not holy, that is not godly. To resist God is not holy nor godly, right? It's neither holy nor godly. But to resist the things of this world, and that's what I'm talking about here, that slide, that gravitational-like pull from the sin nature to rebel against God and go our own way. Paul says that our lives should be marked by holy or godly resistance. And so this morning, we're going to look at two areas of resistance lined out in this passage here. First, we're to resist false hope. Resist false hope. Now, for the first time in the book of Galatians, I mean, Paul's alluded to it, right? He's sort of made half mention of it, but he's not really come out and said what the real issue is there, right? Where the rubber's really meeting the road as they're trying to trust in the law and their own works. And so here for the first time, Paul addresses head on what he's been talking about. Look there, look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, the statement by itself might cause some of the men in the room here some worry, because soon after we were born, some of us here in the room, our parents had us circumcised. But the issue here isn't the fact of circumcision or the reality of circumcision. That's not what Paul's talking about there. That's why he says in verse 6, look at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 5 here. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. He's saying it doesn't matter if you are or not. The issue here is, what are you placing your hope in? That's the issue that he's faced with here, that he's trying to get across to them. Are you hoping in your circumcision? Are you hoping that it will earn you God's favor? And that's exactly what the Galatians were doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Look at verse 4 with me. You have been severed from Christ. You, notice this, who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You see, these false teachers, they were coming in and they were saying, friend, listen, you can't just trust Christ. This is what they were saying to him. You can't just trust Christ. You've got to be circumcised as well. There's got to be some works to justify you, to make you righteous before God. It can't just be faith. It can't just be trusting in Jesus. And they were probably saying something like this. Listen, guys, Paul. Listen, Galatians, Paul, he had good intentions. But Paul hasn't explained to you the full demands of the gospel. And I think Paul basically responds back to them. He basically says to them, No, my brother, they've not explained to you the full demands of the law. Notice what he says in verse 3. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you want to require something other than faith in Christ, for instance, circumcision here, then you must keep the entire law. Friends, do you realize what God requires of us in the law? I mean, they're numerous. They're burdensome. They're inconvenient. In fact, I would say every one of them runs counter to our sinful human nature. Every one of them. And so, friends, there are only two ways to God. Only two ways. Number one is to come through the righteousness of the law. Or two is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, if you try to get to God through the law, through your own goodness, through your own perfection, your own sinlessness, your own works, you're doomed. Absolutely doomed. Friends, God requires absolute perfection. He requires sinlessness. And here's the problem. Ben can't do that. I cannot do that. You cannot do that. The gravity of your sin nature, it's just too much. Now this morning, Brother Will has been gracious enough to loan me some weights here for a demonstration. I need somebody strong. I mean, I'm not talking about strong. Who's real strong? I see some mentions for Brother Tony over here. And I've got a lady back here. All right. Brother Tony, you want to be a volunteer this morning? Oh, he's a good sport, isn't he? Y'all give him a round of applause here. Now, Brother Tony, I don't know. I could be mean or I could be just half mean. Let's see which one here. He says I need to be a pastor. All right. This is 25 pounds. All right. Now, Brother Tony, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that and hold it straight out for as long as you can. I'm going to keep on preaching. Just straight out. Not on your chest.
Will you stop when I drop them?
I will. Just hold it right out there. Oh, you're too strong. Here. Here, hold that one in that hand. Hold that one in that hand and hold them straight out. Let's see what we can do with that. Keep it out there. Don't let go. Don't let go now. Straight out. You got your elbows bent. You like the one? All right, let's see if he can do it for 5 seconds. All right, he's going. Yeah, let's see if you can do the one. Well, of course you can do the one for 5 seconds. We'll just keep holding it out there. Let's see if he starts to sweat. Friends, there are only two ways to God. So to receive circumcision as a way to merit God's favor, here's what it says. The Bible says it makes Christ no benefit to you. Absolutely none. Now what I want you to watch is how gravity begins to work on him. Do you notice this? Now he's strong. Y'all picked a guy that's too strong this morning. Y'all should have got me down there. I would have definitely done it. I would have definitely dropped it first thing. Now I want you to notice how his arms begin to drop. Right? I mean, they are. You notice how he's twitching? You notice how sweat's beginning to break out on his forehead? he's a good man. He's like, I'm going to act like this is getting heavy, just even if it's not. Now, Brother Tony, here's what we try to do sometimes, isn't it? Right? We try to say, I'm gonna do this thing. I mean, I'm gonna work my way to God. I'm gonna hold it up myself. I'm gonna do the law. I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna work my way to heaven. And then all of a sudden, you notice his arms begin to drop. Do you see that? The weight is too much. Gravity's working against him. He's got this thing in him. Yes, he's done. He's done. Don't move yet. I ain't done with you. Right? That's what happens, guys. Our sin nature is sort of like gravity working against us, right? I mean, we say with good intentions, man, I'm going to do the things God wants me to do. How many of y'all have said that before? Right? And what happened the next week? You didn't do it, did you? You didn't do it. You fell. Right? And so what are we to do? Is Jesus just standing beside you and saying, Tony, try harder? That's not what he's saying, is he? Is Jesus saying this? Which he's not. Is Jesus saying, hold it up there, Tony. Here, I'll support your arms. Right? Is this what Jesus is saying? Or is Jesus saying this? Brother, let me take this from you and I'll hold it for you. Right? I mean, the omnipotent God of the universe. That's all right. Yeah, give glory to God. Thank you, Tony. Well, he's sweating up a storm now. I can feel it. The omnipotent God said, I will do it for them. And guys, that's what it's about. It's too much for us to hold. It's too much for us to bear. I don't remember 25 pounds being this heavy. I'm just going to be honest with you. Will, I think these are actually 50. I think they're a misprint. All right? So guys, think about that illustration there. That's how we try to go about it sometimes. We try to do it ourselves, or we try to do it with us and Jesus. When Jesus says, I will do it for you. So to receive circumcision as a way to merit God's favor or anything else that is a work of man, the Bible says makes Christ no benefit to you. No benefit to you. Here's what it says in Galatians 2:20. Look what it says, Galatians 2:20. He says it a different way here. Actually, Galatians 2:21. Notice what he says. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. I mean, that's the same thing as saying Christ is no benefit to you if you try to merit God's favor with what you can do. Now, notice the imagery in verse 4. You, he's speaking to those who are putting their hope in circumcision or works or the law, have been severed from Christ. Now, the word severed here is meant to be a word picture for us. All right? It's meant to generate an image in our minds, just as circumcision severs the skin from the body. Hoping in circumcision for salvation severs you from true salvation, which is found in hoping in Christ alone. And so as the skin is cut away, the Bible says, you are cut away from Christ as well if you put your hope in anything but Jesus alone. And that's what Paul means when he says, to those who do this, you have fallen from grace. Now, I know that many Christians take this verse and use it to teach that a person can be saved and then lost, but that's not what Paul's pointing to, right? Scripture must be interpreted in light of Scripture. And the scripture is replete with promises that those who are truly saved will be kept till the end. But he says right here, he says you have fallen from grace. He's saying that the only way you can be saved is by grace. And when a person moves to put their hope in something other than the work of Jesus Christ, they've fallen out of the scope of grace. Friend, don't you know that grace cannot save a self-righteous person? Cannot. Impossible. Because the self-righteous person is, they have moved themselves out of the scope, out of the reach of grace. And so the question's not, were the Galatians saved and then lost, Brother Ben? The question is, were they ever saved at all? And the Bible says that if they stop trusting in Christ alone, and they begin to hope in what they can do, then they're proving, they're showing that they were never saved. We'll talk more about that tonight. That'll be the message. That'll be the topic or the point we'll get to, the doctrine we'll get to tonight in the evening service. And so maybe it'll help us understand what I'm talking about if we can put it in mathematical equations. We got any math nuts out here today besides Guy? I mean, Don's studying to be a math teacher. Anybody like math? All right, we got some math nuts out here. Good, I love math nuts. I like hanging out with you guys because I can't hardly even divide long division. I mean, it's bad, all right? I got to have a calculator. But if we were to put it in equations in this way, what Paul has basically been saying through the book of Galatians, it would probably look something like this. First is this equation. Hoping in myself, you can see it here on the screen, hoping in myself equals no salvation. Hoping in myself equals no salvation whatsoever. I mean, if you think about it here, this is the hope of most of the world. Most of the world, the atheist, the agnostic, the follower of false gods, they're hoping in themselves, really, what they can do. And in the end, there's no salvation for them. That's the first equation. Trusting in myself equals no salvation. Here's the next equation. Maybe we can say it this way. Hoping in Jesus plus hoping in myself equals no salvation. That might be surprising for some of us. I mean, what? I mean, I had Jesus in the equation. I mean, Jesus was there. I was hoping in Jesus. But brother, you were also, sister, hoping in yourself. And the Bible says, when you do that, you are severed from the reach, the scope of grace. You're severed, you're out of the reach of grace. Now, really, this right here is where the Galatians were. This is the road they were going down. Believe in Jesus and believe in circumcision, and in the end, they were left with no salvation. Now, if Paul were writing this letter today, if he were to send a letter addressed to the West Main Baptist Church instead of the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia. If he were writing that today, the issue probably wouldn't be circumcision. It probably wouldn't be. It might be baptism because, again, there are some churches that teach the Bible requires baptism for salvation, that you are not saved unless you're baptized. And those that teach that, I'm fully convinced they're hoping in Jesus. And they're also hoping in baptism, and that leaves them out of the scope of grace. And some even go further than that. Some go further, and they don't say it's not just that you have to be baptized. You have to be baptized with certain language, right? Maybe you, instead of saying, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you must say, some teach, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus. And if you don't use that exact phrase, you are not baptized. In fact, you are not saved, they'll say. That is adding to the gospel. Others will say church affiliation. I know that you all know some people who say that you must be a part of this particular church, which is affiliated with this particular denomination, in order to really be saved. Or maybe you know some folks that go the other way, and they teach that you must be part of this particular church, which is not affiliated with any denomination. In other words, they're non-denominational. You'll get both those right there. But Galatians is clear. Hoping in Jesus plus hoping in yourself equals no salvation. Here's the third equation, and this is what Paul says is the truth. Hoping in Jesus equals salvation. Now think about, just think about the word salvation, church. That word in itself, doesn't it imply that our efforts play no part? Think about that. A drowning person doesn't need a lifeguard to stand on the side of the pool and say, swim harder. No, a drowning person needs someone to jump in and swim and pull them to the side. They're helpless. They're drowning. They're going under. They need a Savior. That's why Paul continues in verses 5 and 6. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Friends, do you realize that righteousness is yours? If you're in Christ, if you've turned from your sins and trusted Christ, if you've believed on Jesus, the Bible says that righteousness is yours. It just hasn't been fully realized in your life yet. Right? If you're in Jesus, He bought righteousness for you. And in heaven right now, you stand fully, completely righteous. But on earth, it's a different reality, isn't it? It's a different reality. But that's where faith comes into play. Faith comes into play at this point. I see in my own life that I am not righteous. Even after God has saved me, I am still not fully righteous. But God has promised me that by grace, through faith in Jesus, I've been given a righteousness that is alien to me. It is not mine. I have not earned it. It's the righteousness of Jesus. And one day in the age to come, He promises that I myself will be conformed to the image of Jesus. It's not mine yet. And I'll be in glory because of Jesus, but He's conforming me to the image of His precious Son, who was completely righteous. Completely. And yes, we are to do good deeds. You'll agree with me, right? We're to do good deeds. Amen? Amen. But we don't do good deeds to save our necks or to save our souls. We do good deeds. What does He say here? Because we love Jesus. He saved us. He didn't have to. Look at what He did. Why wouldn't we want to serve Him? Why wouldn't we want to bless others and bring them to the kingdom as well? We do good deeds because we love Jesus. That's faith working through love. And so, friends, Jesus is our only hope. Our only hope. Therefore, we must resist the slide toward false hope in other things, namely ourselves. Friend, yourself, you are your biggest idol. You are. We've got to resist that slide. We've got to resist that slide. Trust in Jesus alone. Resist false hope. But Paul says we're not just to resist a false hope. We're also to resist false teachers. False teachers. Look at verses 7 through 12. He writes, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and in the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Now, you might get a sense, I didn't read it that angrily, but you look at the tone, you look at the words, you look at the things that he's saying there. Paul's a little bit angry, isn't he? He's a little bit angry. You get the sense that this individual or this group that's coming in there and doing stuff and teaching, confusing the Galatians, he's mad at them. And he absolutely was, because he loved the Galatians. Friends, aren't you zealous for those that you love? You better be, or you don't love them, right? And so Paul was zealous for those that he loved because this doctrine was leading them to make a shipwreck of their faith, absolute shipwreck of their faith. Friend, don't you know that it's not whether or not you start the race of faith. The Bible says it matters whether or not you finish the race of faith. Listen to what it says, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. This is Paul testifying. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure's come. I fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see, Paul had watched the Galatians begin the race. He had watched them start out. I mean, the guy at the starting point had blown the gun, shot the gun, and they were off, and they were running well. But now he was getting word that they might not finish the race. That's why he asked them in Galatians 3:3. He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" They had been running so well, but now someone was hindering them. Now, how are they being hindered? Look at verse 7. Verse 7 tells us, Galatians 5:7, tells us that these teachers were hindering the Galatians by introducing a persuasion, he says, that did not come from him who calls you. In other words, a doctrine that's not from God. In other words, a false teaching, a false doctrine. And Paul wants to be clear with them that this false doctrine is dangerous. He says it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump of dough. That's what he's saying there. The leaven is powerful. I mean, it spreads through the whole lump. In other words, it only takes a little yeast to make the whole lump of bread rise. I mean, that's what leaven is, yeast. It only takes a little bit because it's powerful. It permeates the whole lump of dough. In that same way, it takes only a little false doctrine to bring harm to a congregation. One author says it this way. I like how he says it. Just as a single cell of cancer can metastasize until it spreads throughout the physical body, a single false doctrine can multiply itself and spread throughout a body of believers. A great forest fire is started by one spark. And then he quotes Benjamin Franklin. For lack of a nail, the shoe was lost. For lack of a shoe, the horse was lost. For lack of a horse, the rider was lost. And for lack of a rider, the battle was lost. In other words, doctrine hooks up with doctrine. And if one begins to fall, if one begins to go false, then all of a sudden, many are in trouble. Friends, we've got to be on guard against all forms of false doctrine. Now, let me say this. A common mistake that we make as individuals is thinking that whatever we believe is right and everything else is false doctrine, okay? I mean, that's pride, that's human pride, that's the sin of pride working up in us. We're right, they're wrong. But my dear friend, listen to me closely. Your tradition, your opinion, your logic, your sensibility is not the measure of truth. Absolutely not. You might hear something, some doctrine, some teaching, and you might say, "I just wasn't taught that growing up." Or you might say, "I just don't believe that." You might say, "That just doesn't make sense to me." Or you might say this, "That just doesn't agree with my spirit." Every one of those statements, friends, is a dangerous statement. Every one of those, that's dangerous to say. Very dangerous to say. Friend, your tradition may be man-made. Your opinion may be wrong. Your logic may be off. Your sensibility may be misguided. So what are you to do? What are you and I to do whenever we hear a different doctrine? You do like the Bereans did, right? Acts 17. Verses 10 and 11. Look at it on the screen there with me. Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. It says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now those who were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica For they receive the word with great eagerness, and notice what they do, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. What was their authority? Was it their opinion? Was it their sense of right and wrong and truth and falsity? Was it their traditions? No, it was scripture. They were willing to be trumped by scripture in everything. And so listen, we've got to do what it says right here to do. Go to the scripture. Recognize the authority of only scripture. It's the only arbiter of truth. Everything else is just an opinion. Scripture is where we go. Go to the scripture. If you hear a different teaching, go to the scripture and see if what's being taught is true or not. And that's exactly what Paul was expecting the Galatians to do. Look at verse 10. Galatians 5:10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. He believed that if they would study the scripture, especially this letter that he had sent to them, because remember, this letter is scripture. I mean, we recognize this as scripture. He expected them to take this and say, this is straight from God. He believed if they would study the scripture, he would see that these men were teaching false doctrine. Paul in no way taught that salvation included circumcision or any other worker for that matter, right? And the proof of this truth was the fact that he was being persecuted by those who teach circumcision. Look at verse 11. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Now, Paul used to preach circumcision, didn't he? Oh, he was zealous. He was zealous for the law. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, right? But now something's changed. Yes, he's still zealous, but now he's zealous for the gospel. He's zealous for the cross of Christ. To the Jew and to the world, think about this. The cross is so offensive. It's incredibly offensive. Think about it. I mean, a bleeding Messiah, a bleeding crucified Messiah. I mean, yuck. That's what the world says. The abolishment of outward religion, like circumcision, the world and the Jews, they say, no way. No way. Trusting only in God and none of myself. Forget that, the world says. Forget that. That's why the cross is so offensive, guys. Yet many preachers today, don't they? Many preachers today, even so-called evangelical preachers, remove the offense of the cross. And so, friends, if the world loves a preacher, that's probably an indication that there's trouble in his ministry. That's probably, now listen, I'm not talking about the man's popularity in Christian circles. I'm not talking about the size of his church. A man can truly preach Christ crucified and be loved by Christians and be the pastor of a mega church and still be orthodox preaching the gospel, preaching the cross. But if the world, if unbelievers, if the pagans love a preacher, that man, I guarantee you, is not preaching the cross and Christ crucified, because the cross is offensive. It's offensive. And so beware of preachers that the world esteems. I beg you, beware. And so Paul finishes this passage with a warning and a wish for all false teachers. The warning's found in verse 10. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Friends, do you realize what it says in Mark 9, verse 42, about false teachers? Here's what it says, Mark 9, verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone hung around him, his neck, he had been cast into the sea. In other words, false teachers face an imminent destruction if they do not repent. That's what the Bible says. If they do not repent, they will bear serious punishment from God. So there's the warning there in verse 10. And Paul's wish is found in verse 12. He says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Listen, I'm not trying to be crude or crass. I'm trying to explain what he's talking about here. But these are Paul's words. He's saying in a nice way, If they're so intent on circumcision, I wish they wouldn't stop right there. They'd just continue right on to castration. That's what he's saying. Literally, I mean, I'm not mincing words. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible's saying here, what Paul is saying. Paul certainly had a way with words, didn't he? He did. You might not have said it that way. You might have said it this way. I love my sheep, and they better leave my beloved sheep alone, right? Maybe that's how we would have said it. But Paul had a way with words. That was Paul's sentiment. He loved his sheep. He wanted to protect his sheep. He wanted them to stand firm, to resist this slide to false hope, this slide to false teachers. He loved the Galatians, and he wanted their life to be characterized by godly resistance, by holy resistance, to resist the false hope, to resist false teachers. And so I wonder this morning, church, is your life characterized by godly resistance? And mothers, I want to speak to you for just a moment. You have an incredible part to play in this. Your children love you. They're looking to you. They're following you. Where are you leading them? Yes, I know the husband is the head of the house according to the word of God. Yes, I know according to the word of God, the husband is the head of the wife. But you are a minister to that child. Even if you're a senior citizen now, your son or daughter is still looking to you, mama. What am I to do? What does this passage mean? Should I do this? Should I go there? The questions are endless, aren't they? And you mamas play an incredible, incredible role in helping your sons and daughters and you yourselves to live a life of godly resistance. So, mothers and everyone alike, is your life characterized by godly resistance? Do you fight against the sinful slide toward self-reliance? Do you stand against the false teachers and false doctrine? Friend, are you trusting in anything else besides the work of Jesus Christ for your salvation? Here's the good news. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ, maybe you come in here this morning with presuppositions that said, I've got to be good enough. You came in here thinking before, you thought in your mind that I'm not good enough for Jesus, but I'm going to try. Jesus says, come as you are. I'll give you bread you didn't buy, vineyard you didn't plant, right? He's going to give a gift. That's what grace is all about. And so this morning, if you recognize that you are a sinner and that there's no hope in yourself to be saved, then I beg you to turn to Jesus because you're ready. If you've realized that there's no hope in you, then let me point to you to the one place where there is hope. That's at the cross of Christ. That's where you find righteousness. That's where you find hope. I declare to you that you can be saved today. Today. And so for all of us this morning, may you put no hope in human works like circumcision or anything else, and cling to the cross of Christ alone.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.